broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
And a great good morning to you. 7 a.m. in Hawaii, partly sunny skies, scattered showers, a great day to get and play a round of golf today. Mostly sunny, fabulous weather, slight chance of showers, easterly winds 15 to 20 miles an hour, just enough to cool us off. The high today expected to be about 85, 89. It all depends on where you are, and sunscreen is an absolute must. This is the weekend of the 147th Open. Is that Carnoustie, and is Carnoustie nasty or nice? Well, right now, she seems to be on the nicer side than on the nasty side, but I hear the temperature's picking, going down. The winds are picking up a bit, and this is in Scotland. So we're going to go to Scotland. Ron Green Jr., award-winning journalist, 6 first-place awards from the Golf Writers Association of America. He's Global Golf Post, your online news from golf. You can just get it anytime you'd like. Go to globalgolfpost.com, click on subscribe, and it comes free into your inbox. We're going to check in with Ron right after we thank the people who make this show possible.
The Golf Club, brought to you in part by Creative Plumbing. Call Creative Plumbing because it has to be done right. Futura Stone, for your business or residence. Pavers for your driveways and parking lots. Concrete-colored floors and decorative stone floors. And Claude Brousseau, Master PGA Teaching Professional at Maui School of Golf. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
And now, let's go straight to the 147th Open at Carnoustie in Scotland. Welcome into the clubhouse, Ron Green.
How's everything in Hawaii today?
Absolutely fabulous. We've been watching, of course, on NBC. It's still on, guys. If you're Tiger Woods shot a 66. But the leaders, of course, have just gone off. And I understand that it's getting a little cooler and the wind's picking up. It may not be as easy, of course. Can you call Carnoustie easy?
Well, it's been pretty much Carnoustie today so far, and there's a little breeze blowing now, not enough to bother play, but the forecast is for the long-absent wind to arrive on Sunday just in time for the final round because, Carnoustie is very difficult on a calm day, and, I'm standing outside right now, and it's about 72 degrees with just a light breeze and just beautiful, but if they get the winds they're expecting tomorrow and throw in the bunkers that are just, diabolical and just so menacing around here, it could be, given the leaderboard we have at this Open Championship, it could be quite a Sunday because they have a lot of the characters you expect to starting to gather near the front.
Yes. Kevin Kisner is interesting to watch. He's very methodical. There doesn't seem to be a whole lot of sparkle in his game, but he just keeps trucking. He keeps moving that ball, and his putting seems to be just invincible at this point.
Yeah, he did some work on his putting. He was not happy after the Greenbrier, but if you talk to media people, I think guys, people who are around the tour regularly really, really like Kevin. He is just sort of down-to-earth guy, really tough. There's a toughness to him that a lot of people may not appreciate, but he's a very good player. And yeah, he may not win this Open Championship, but it won't be because he got scared. He had a chance to win the PGA Quail Hollow last year and hit a bad shot at the wrong time, and it really cost him. So he has sort of that experience to go on. It's given so many players are bunched at the moment, it's going to take somebody probably doing something exceptional tomorrow. Could he be the one? He certainly could.
Yeah, and then there's Jordan Spieth. He teed off a few minutes ago, it seems. But he's on the 14th hole already?
Buzzing around, and everybody wants to know, it appears Jordan got a haircut last night. And so it looks a little short underneath that cap, so I'm sure that'll be one of the things. But, he's a guy who, he just loves this. He's so energized by playing over here. And you just, granted, he has not had the year and the recent run of play, run a form that you sort of expect from Jordan Spieth, but you just knew when he got here to Scotland to this championship he was going to be part of it, and he is absolutely part of it.
Yeah, and the reason I say is he on 14 already is because he's 8 under now, which puts him at the top of the leaderboard with Kevin Kisner and Zach Johnson, but they're still on 10. So they've got 4 more holes to play and could easily get to 10 under if they can get to, let's say, what is it, 10 or 11, and then it really gets hard? I mean, it's hard,
yeah.
And then it really gets hard.
Yeah, it's very difficult. The 14th hole is a par 5, but most of the players are making birdies on. Somebody might make an eagle. That's one guys are going to count on getting a shot there. But otherwise, especially the last 3 holes, a lot of things can happen. Tiger gave a shot back at 16 to par 3 when his tee shot rolled off the green and down the slope there. I think they want to have it before they get to those last 3 or 4 holes. and so I think that, you know, if there's going to be any separation, it's going to happen in the next probably hour.
Yeah, exactly. That's why it's really key. If you can record it, do so. If you can turn it on, do so. It's going to be really exciting, and Sunday's going to be amazing. Ian Poulter tweeted that he's never been that big of a Tiger Woods fan, but watching Tiger today, he said that if he can pull this off, this is like dreams come true. And GOAT and all of that stuff. And for Ian Poulter to get all soppy over anybody is kind of unusual. And as he said, he's never been that great of a Tiger Woods fan, but he's getting excited. So with that set up, I'm watching this morning, and I'm watching Tiger. The first 9, he's very methodical, bomb-da-dom-da-dom. That's very good. That was his game plan. But then everybody's saying, Tiger, if you're going to do something, you better do it now. And then he starts birdieing holes. He starts getting into a groove. He's hit more fairways. I think he's top out of the field right now. And it was just, then he comes to 18. So he gave back a couple, but he hits the burn. And I mean, like, no! It bounces off the wall. It was just such a shock. It's interesting the impact he has on everyone, whether they're golfers or non-golfers. Just watching him draws an incredible crowd. Do you feel that?
Oh, my gosh, yes, you absolutely feel it. I mean, you could hear it and sense it. And yeah, I mean, but the galleries here today, I mean, haven't been to most of the tournaments he's played this year. It feels a lot like it felt in sort of, I don't know, the glory days or whatever.
Yeah.
And I think the excitement today that came as he started making those birdies, it's a very real thing. I mean, even to the point, as he walked from the 17th green to the 18th tee, people are just cheering. I hear some guy in a big Scottish accent, Tiger, the green jacket is yours this year. and his buddy goes, now that's at the Masters. But anyway, that's how excited it got. And Tiger said, he played really well today. He had one bad shot, and that was a tee shot on 18, and he got away with 4 there. As he told us just 30 minutes or so ago, he said, as long as I'm within about 5, I got a chance. And somebody asked him, said, what would it mean if you were to win this, given all that's happened over the last 10 years, what would it mean? And he smiled. He goes, I know where you're going, but I'm not going there yet.
Yeah, right.
He goes,
on.
Not going to go there yet.
Yeah, and he just can't. I mean, you just can't get excited like that. It just throws all of your control out the window, and that kind of an adrenaline or excitement or anything. He's in a good space watching him walk and just doing what he does. Let's talk a little bit about the 2 houses that have been taken over by the crew of Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas, Zach Johnson, Ricky Fowler, Jimmy Walker, and Jason Duffner. They are side by side. Instead of having 1 house, now they've got 2 where they can cruise. Do you think somebody gave Jordan a haircut last night?
I don't know. Just a lot of people have noticed it looked like he got a haircut under his cap. I'm going over sure, but yeah. I think this is the 3rd year they've had the same basic group. Kevin Kisner's in it for the first time this year. And, they were talking about playing soccer in the backyard because I guess there's a soccer goal there. And
be careful.
Yeah, I mean, it's – yeah, exactly. And they have their own chef there. So, Jordan Spieth said it's the best food of the year. So I don't know if he's talking about Scotland food or if he's talking about the chef they brought with them.
Mm-hmm.
But they have a good time. They're able to go kick back and relax and Somebody asked Justin Thomas, what do they all talk about? And I guess, well, we'll all moan and complain about what we did or didn't do on the golf course. So there's golf talk. But it just, you know, they can relax and they're around buddies instead of going back to a hotel room by themselves or whatever. I mean, it's, I think it's part of the fun for them coming over here. And, you know, but now it's down to serious stuff.
Now it is down to serious stuff. Serious stuff since Justin Thomas did not make the cut. Daniel Berger, Brandon Gray, Sergio Garcia, Hideki Matsuyama, Dustin Johnson, Bubba Watson, Jimmy Walker, Jonathan Vegas, Ian Poulter. He had an 81 after a 73. A lot of, I mean, the number one and two in the world did not make the cut. That's surprising to you?
A little bit. I was a little surprised Dustin Johnson didn't make the cut. You know, things happen like Hideki Matsuyama playing the 18th hole. He's well inside the cut line. Hits his tee shot in the left rough on 18, and suddenly the club grabs his club on the second shot. He hits the ball out of bounds and makes triple, and he's gone. But the number of big guys to be gone maybe is a little high, higher than you might think, but that just speaks to the difficulty of the golf course. While we end up watching the guys who are playing the best, and all you have to do is be off a little bit, and the numbers could add up in a hurry because there's some bad spots around here.
Yeah, and they're both Dustin Johnson and John Rahm are more attacking, like they're driving, attacking kind of players, whereas this course really, it seems, can't be attacked. You really do need to be methodical.
Yeah, I think you can force the issue in places and at times, but I think if you do that, if that's your sole approach to it, it's ultimately probably going to beat you, which is probably, I think, what happened to them. You know, I think Tiger hit one or two more drivers today, but he has been very intent on sticking to this game plan, hitting irons. Now, what it's done is he's kept the ball in play short of a lot of fairway bunkers, but it's given him longer shots into the green, so he's probably not been as close to the hole and had as many truly makeable birdie putts as he would like. But, you know, he adjusted a little bit today, and then we'll just see what the conditions, how they are tomorrow, what that means.
You've written some really great articles. I'm talking with Ron Green Jr., award-winning golf journalist, and he's with Global Golf Post. This is a free publication. You just go online to globalgolfpost.com, click on the subscribe button, put in an email address, and then you'll get this. Every day you get updates when it's a major like this. It comes weekly on Monday, so you get the weekend news and things that are coming up, previews, reviews, all the stuff. There's equipment. There's everything about golf in Global Golf Post. Now, I really enjoyed the piece that you wrote on David Duval. David Duval withdrew after shooting an 80. Do you know why he withdrew?
He went through his cited illness. I did not see him nor talk to him. I don't know. He's a great one. I really like listening to him on television, and I'm sure it was something serious for him to withdraw here because he, like a lot of players, just really, really reveres this championship.
Yeah. So, but that was a beautiful piece about David
Duval. Well, thank
you. Yes, and what he's doing now, you know, as a television and analyst on Golf Channel, and he does a great job. He always has something very interesting, insightful to say. They all do, actually. You know, they're all great, and they work together so well. But it was neat the way you wrote about what happens behind the scenes, the kibitzing, the teasing that happens before the show actually starts, and that's a great piece. But now we're very, very welcome. We have to go to the one person who everyone on the UK side, the European Ryder Cup team side, is hoping wins this, and that would be Tommy Fleetwood. What do you think?
Well, yeah. Oh, I think he's certainly got a chance. I mean, it seems like they don't play a major championship without his name on the leaderboard these days. And, he's a heck of a player, and it wouldn't surprise us. I mean, he's going to be a huge factor in that Ryder Cup. I was sitting with a colleague of mine who lives here in Scotland. He asked me the other day, he said, how would Americans take it if Tommy Fleetwood were to win the Open Championship? I'm like they take free ice cream and free T-shirts. They would love it because he, my friends, they all like him.
Yep.
Whether it's his look, his manner, the way he plays, just who he is, he's already a star, and it would just make him a bigger star.
Yeah, and it also puts us in a, I mean, the Ryder Cup that's coming up, a lot of people think it's, you know, it's easy for the U.S., we've been so dominant, but this is a new European team. This is going to be a much stronger European team. Yes, they're on you know, home turf, Le Golf National, but in addition to that, they're more seasoned. There's some new players that are really coming on strong. I think this is going to be an excellent Ryder Cup. I can't wait for that in France. One other player we have to talk about who sneaks up to the top of leaderboards, and a young kid, can we call him a kid, Xander Schauffele?
Well, he's, I mean, 2 years ago, none of us knew who he was, and
exactly.
Now he just, now we know all about him. I mean, he's good. Another guy just doesn't seem the least bit fazed by the stage or where he is. I mean, he, you know, I mean, his dad taught him to play, and he is confident in what he does and how he does it, and just goes methodically about his business. And he's a very good player, and you get the sense he's one of those guys who's going to be a very good player for a long time.
Exactly, a very good player for a long time. Another person who's just shot a 65, he's in the house. Your leaderboard right now, and this is not based on, there are holes to be played, so it's going to change. But Jordan Spieth, Kevin Kisner, Xander Schauffele, Zach Johnson, Francesco Molinari, Alex Noren, Kevin Chappell, Tiger Woods. Okay, and there's others below tied as well. But it's just, you just see that balance. There's a lot of Americans, but there's some very strong Europeans, including Francesco Molinari, who just had that 65. And I think getting that low score today was critical for these guys to really hold on. If they didn't shoot in the 60s, like Jordan had the 67 yesterday after the 72, he's really pulled it together. He's got a smile on his face. And that's really important, I think, for Jordan Spieth's game. So where are you headed off to?
I'm going to go back, catch the very end of this and see how it unfolds, and do some writing tonight, and then take a quick little drive over to St. Andrews for one more night, and then look forward to tomorrow, because that should be a lot of fun tomorrow.
Wait a minute. Are you staying in St. Andrews?
I'm staying in St. Andrews. I've been roughing it there for the last week.
Have you played any golf?
I'm almost embarrassed to answer that question.
No, it's okay if you haven't. Ron Green, Jr., Global Golf Post, he is writing. He has to keep on top of it. It's just like they say about professional golfers who work at golf courses. Everybody says, hey, you must play a lot of golf. And they're looking at them like, no. Oh, what's that?
I did get fortunate enough to play the Old Course twice and play Kings Barn. So my golf year has already gotten sort of the cherry on top of it.
Okay, so you haven't been completely without. That was a beautiful sound, the bird flying across. That was gorgeous.
Yeah, they were. Thanks. I almost had to duck out of the way of them.
Aloha, Ron Green. Thank you so much for being with us all the way from Scotland, from Carnoustie, where the 147th Open is being played right now. It's the final hour, and then comes Sunday. Thank you, Ron.
Thank you, and look forward to seeing you out there in January.
Awesome. Yes, sir. Aloha.
Aloha.
We're going to come back. Andrew Forrest, do you know that we now have TrackMan at Ko'olina? Well, Andrew's going to give us a little bit of a lowdown about TrackMan, the golf radar technology. Yeah, radar technology. Sometimes you hear it talked about as a portable launch monitor, swing analyzer. It's an integral part of golf instruction today, and they got one right over now at Ko'olina. We'll be back with Andrew Forrest right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens.
Your plumbing can't wait.
It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight.
Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii.
Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home. You need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing!
841-2837.
Your experts on call.
After a year of searching, I found the perfect building for my new 30,000-foot showroom and office. I asked the architect what to do about the flooring. She just smiled and said, call Futurestone. They can turn a dirty, bumpy slab into a work of art. Super low maintenance, yet tough as nails. It's not paint. It's polished concrete, as seen in Architectural Digest. Call Futurestone at 841-7433. It needs to be done right, on time, and on budget.
There's nothing like a good round of golf. Want to have more fun and play better? Golf is easier with coaching from PGA Master Teaching Professional Claude Rousseau. Claude will simplify your game. Scratch golfer or just beginner, two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year, Claude is at Maui School of Golf at the Kahili Course on Maui. You'll get great results and improve. Call Claude at 808-870-1422 or email him at claude@mauischoolofgolf.com. That's Claude Rousseau at 808-870-1422. Have more fun and stop buying lunches for your group.
Yeah, yeah. A mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
I just want to do a shout-out. Have you been thinking about doing something special with your website? It's kind of like you just want to do something. Check out Atomic Penguins. They created our fabulous website. It's radiogolfclub.com, radiogolfclub.com. Then you go down, click on the Atomic Penguins banner at the bottom. Very reasonably priced, very, very imaginative. They'll work with you, create what you want. It's really good. The website, Atomic Penguins. Okay, now we're going to introduce you to Andrew Forrest, PGA, PGA Tour and Pacific Northwest rep for TrackMan Golf. Welcome into the clubhouse, Andrew.
Good morning, Danielle. Thanks for having me on.
So what's the joke? Got a joke?
You know, the joke is there is no joke, actually. After weeks of sleepless nights, nothing came to fruition.
Oh,
so
well, you know,
joke.
That's it. You see, Andrew told me in an email that he was still working on the joke that he was going to open our conversation with, so I had to at least give him an opening for the possibility that there was a joke. Okay, let's go to the reality of TrackMan is that it's pricey. I mean, let's see now. $18,995. We just round that up to $19,000. That's the indoor model. Just under $25,000 for the version that can be used outside. TrackMan 4, though, is a impressive tool for working on both distance and accuracy with each club, and it can be used for simulated play. It can be used for when, you know, getting your clubs dialed in, knowing how to work your clubs, and maybe even with the help of an instructor, how your body, your clubs, then work together to create those great numbers that you're looking for with TrackMan. So tell us about TrackMan 4.
Sure, definitely. Well, it's always good to know kind of where we came from as well, right? TrackMan 1 was very limited back, you know, about 15 years ago now, to now where we have TrackMan 4. So many new features have been integrated, where we have putting, simulator software, which you alluded to, the capability to use dual radar technology to track, you know, short pitch shots and chip shots, and now it's all integrated with the 3D video system. And so really it stems from the ability to track these shorter shots as well as having more features in the software for the end user to have access to. So really, TrackMan 4 kind of encompasses everything you could do in golf, theoretically speaking. So really, the best way to look at TrackMan 4 is tee to green, and now we have our own virtual golf software, if you will, where we do have people buying TrackMan simulators, putting them in their houses, putting them at golf courses to really get golf year-round, and also have a less intimidating factor of bringing a new golfer onto a driving range. They could step into a bay that's more personal and get them a more intimate experience
I'm glad you brought that up, because see, when I open with it's pricey, I mean, it is. For the average person who plays a game and goes to the Muni, $19,000 to install an indoor model, probably not going to happen. But Ko'olina now has a TrackMan at Ko'olina. So you can go down with Kevin Shimomura, get a lesson, and that will include TrackMan. It's an amazing tool, an absolutely amazing, powerful, accurate tool to help you. And that's what the best players in the world do. Now, Mike, I have to ask a question. I'm leading into it. But before I ask a question, talk to us a little bit about what the dual radar technology, you just said that really quick. How does that help?
Sure, great question. So basically, the previous units of TrackMan only had a single radar in it. And the single radar would look at club data as well as ball data. And now with dual radar in one TrackMan, we can have one radar system looking only at the impact or club data, and then we can have a secondary radar looking at all the ball data, so long-range activity, if you will. And you can almost equate, if you took the frequency of those radars, for the impact radar, that's capturing approximately 40,000 frames per second, whereas the ball radar is 20,000 frames per second. So it allows us to get those shorter shots, chips, putts, to an extremely tight tolerance where TrackMan has confidence to output the data to the client.
So one system is handling the club path, the face angles of the swing direction, the spin loft, and all of that?
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, if you just want to think of the ball data radar as looking, down the range, if you will, whereas the impact radar, if you will, the club radar, is looking only at the impact area, giving you angle of attack, club path, face angle, swing direction, all of our club parameters for the most part, impact location, which is a new parameter we actually have tracking, so where the ball is hit on the club face, which is very unique, and then everything else is done with the ball radar to track the actual full flight of the ball downrange.
Now, once you see your numbers, you're going to need somebody to help you make adjustments. I don't imagine anybody who's just going to be able to go, oh, yeah, I get that, now I'll be able to change.
Sure, exactly. Great point. So, I mean, what's really unique about TrackMan is we have a dedicated free online learning platform called TrackMan University. And there's three levels to it, level one, level two, and a master level. But also, if you're, just like you and I, we could go on, download our app, actually, through the iOS store.
Wow.
And that takes you through an interactive learning portal, basically, to go through our data. And what's really unique as well is it'll go through and say, hey, you're hitting into a 10-mile-per-hour headwind. How much carry are you expected to lose, or how much do you expect your landing angle to change, so on and so forth. So it is real-life applications. And that it really helps the learning curve because you can almost relate to it next time you get on a golf course.
Interesting. So I can use my phone, but first I need to get the data. And that would be, now the indoor one is less expensive, but you do need a 10-foot high ceiling to be able to actually use those indoor home simulators. So you need to think about that when you're swinging, maybe even higher if you're going to use a driver.
Sure, exactly. When we talk about indoor golf, right, I mean, the dimensions we recommend are primarily dictated for ball flight tracking, so maybe 20 feet in total depth. And then you're not hitting right up to your screen or net, right, so it's not going to go through the back wall. And then additionally, the height is really predicated on how tall is the player.
TrackMan
doesn't really need a specific height. It's just more based on that individual and that space. And so really it's really up to the individual. And we have people that have the full simulator solutions in their house, screen, projector, turf, the full kit. And then we have people that have just a golf net in their garage. So it's nice with the portability and size of TrackMan 4 now, where you're not going to need to take up your whole room unless you want to, basically.
Right. So you have you can create the screens and all of that, or you can just have your TrackMan device and it'll send the information to your phone.
Exactly. And, yeah, like I said, we do everything turnkey now in TrackMan. We have a full simulator division with sim operations managers, design team, so on and so forth. So it's really great to see us get into this market, and we're definitely the fastest growing simulator company in the world right now.
Absolutely. I mean, everybody's TrackMan. It's almost like, you know, Kleenex. Right?
Exactly.
Right.
That's great.
Yeah, that is great. It's wonderful. Okay, so at Ko'olina on Monday, this is really nice. There's the TrackMan Learning Seminar. I bet you this is sold out, right?
Yeah, actually, I spoke with Greg Nichols from Ko'olina yesterday, and there's a great attendance so far for people signed up. I think there's going to be some more people showing up that aren't signed up. So we're hoping to have plus or minus 25 people, 20 to 25 people, I would say. And it's a half day, and I believe it's only $25 to sign up. All the proceeds go to the Aloha Section PGA, so that's nice. And we'll have some, you know, real life, live lessons and live fittings on the range. I'll do a little bit of a company background and overview of TrackMan 4 data parameters. And it's really going to be a pretty relaxed day, as is every day on Hawaii, or in Hawaii, I should say.
Yes, we're all just cruising at the beach.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
We wish. Okay, so this the TrackMan Learning Seminar, Ko'olina, starts at 7:30 check-in. 8 o'clock is Introduction to TrackMan with Andrew Forrest. I'm speaking with Andrew Forrest, TrackMan Golf. And then at 9:15, there's Club Fitting with TrackMan and PXG. Okay, and then at 10 o'clock, TrackMan and Junior Development with Kevin Shimomura, the PGA Director of Player Development at Ko'olina. So that will be a live lesson. And then at 10:45, there's a TrackMan and Adult Development with Ben Hongo, my friend from Maui, Director of Instruction at the Kapalua Golf Academy. And then at 11:30, it's a Q&A and a long drive event. This is fabulous for $25. Are you sure you only have 25 people signed up for this? If I had the day, I'd be there.
Well, yeah. You better be there, Danielle.
Yes.
Well, come on.
So the question that I wanted to ask you, okay,
sure.
When we're playing in the States, and most of our golf courses are fairly, you know, hit here, hit there, it stops, uh-huh. It doesn't roll much. And I watch something like Carnoustie, right, where they're playing 147th Open, and they hit there, and then it rolls all over the place. I mean, at some point, you know, your TrackMan stats, you have to put them, say, okay, I know what I can do, but given this situation, I'm going to have to feel this a little bit more, don't you think?
100%. TrackMan is amazing at combining the forces of feel and real. So, you know, you do a certain swing, and that shot goes 100 yards. And then it's reinforced by whatever TrackMan output that says it went 105 yards, right? So a lot of these players, from what I understand, what I've seen on TV is, and what they talked about is their landing spots and the total distance. So they're really looking to land it in a spot and really kind of guesstimate how much it's going to run out, just like a pitch would, except they're, you know, gauging a 200 to 250, a 300-yard shot, really, in some cases longer for Thursday's first round. So they really do hone in on their carry numbers with TrackMan. And then, you know, maybe some of the guys this week are looking at landing angle as well, because that'll help dictate how far the ball may roll out as well. If it's not coming in very, very steep, it might roll out a little bit more. And so that's where the guys may be using TrackMan more so this week, as well as the temperature on the driving range, and just at the course in general. From them coming from the John Deere, where it was probably in the 90s and, you know, very high level of humidity, to come overseas and play in 60, 65, 70 degree weather, is a big difference. So that's where they'll use TrackMan on the range to get their yardages, because it might be a little bit different from TPC the week before.
Cool. So the guys that have the two houses where they're, you know, cruising together, I think it's, let me see who's having the house together. It's Jordan and Justin and Zach and Ricky and Jimmy and Jason. They're all in these houses together and hanging out. So if one of them says, hey, I'll bring the TrackMan.
I agree. Yeah. Well, I can't speak for them. I'm not over there.
Of course not.
I'm a European rep with Nolan Moore. But you know, what we see now is players are so, you know, comfortable with traveling with them. You know, I've been to the Sony Open 2 years in a row now, I've been fortunate to be the support person at that event for TrackMan. And from year one to year two, there was probably, you know, approximately 20 more TrackMans with relatively the same people in the field, because people are just more and more, you know, comfortable traveling with them. So I think that, you know, the guys on the tour, they really do keep their own unit, I think, for the most part. They may share it, but some guys use it more than others. But, you know, the guys that don't use it a lot, relatively speaking, still use it a lot.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So
right.
There are guys that use it, and it's their baby, kind of. So I can't speak for them. There's definitely a few clients of ours from TrackMan that are in that house, some of the names you mentioned. But, yeah, I'm not.
I'm not asking you to speak for them. We understand the limitations that we all have, you know. We're not authorized and all that good stuff. So it's like a computer. My TrackMan is a computer that is mine, and it's mine, and I'm not going to lend it to you because it's mine. I love it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Andrew Forrest, a real pleasure talking with you. TrackMan Golf. I want to have something large enough so I can put my TrackMan and have it and not share. thank you for being on the show. I look forward to going over to Ko'olina, and we're going to talk with Kevin next weekend about the lessons that we can go and have with Kevin Shimomura and enjoy a TrackMan experience. Thank you for being on the show.
Great. Thanks so much, Danielle.
Aloha. Coming back, we're going to the 147th Open, Bob Bupka, right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
We know you aren't looking for a new garage door right now. Even though you haven't changed it in many years, even though the new styles you've seen look clean and strong, even though your current garage door is creaking and groaning, even though your garage door is the first impression that visitors have of your home, you just aren't ready. Or are you? Rainer Hawaii will make it simple to beautify your home. Call Rainer now at 676-3667. That's Rainer at 676-3667. 3667.
Have you ever seen a building or a magazine photo or traveled to a place that captured your imagination? Futura Stone's master craftsmen can transform your vision into a reality. Does your project call out for a permeable pavement, parking area, pool deck, plaza, or grand entry? Bring us your plans. Futura Stone's unique outdoor products and services can turn your resort, building, or home's exterior into an oasis that will last a lifetime. Call Futura Stone, 841-7440 across Hawaii. Futura Stone, only the best. As we jet from place to place, we buckle in knowing they maintain their planes daily. They don't put off repairs till the next month. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your water line, sewer line, or fire line broke at the worst possible moment. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or commercial center, high-rise, townhouse, or hen house. You need your job done now. Done right. That's Creative Plumbing!
Your experts on call.
Let's see, 40 yards to the pin, wind in my face. Where's my wedge? I saw this flop shot on TV. Oh, not even close. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
I just had a great idea. Okay, you've got that garage. You haven't been doing anything with it much, and it needs a new garage door. You want to put a great garage door on it, Rainer doors, and you want to put TrackMan inside and create this perfect indoor experience. There you go. It's time to do something with your garage. Well, we're going to go back to the 147th Open at Carnoustie in Scotland, and we're going to, of course, talk with Bob Bupka, voice of golf for Talk Sport in the UK, host of the Grill Room Golf Show, powered by Vertical Groove. Welcome into the clubhouse, Bob.
Danielle, I need a big favor of you.
Ready? Standing by.
All right. Would you very slowly and distinctly tell me what time it says on your clock?
And on my clock, it says 7:39.
Oh, good. That's morning, right?
Yes, 7 a.m. Yes. Why?
Oh, because I've been working 14 hours, but I hear it's only 7:30 in the morning. I feel better. Thank you for doing that.
Wake up, Bobby.
Beautiful
good
day. Golly, Miss, good golly, Miss Molly. It's the only place I want to be, though. I mean, it's incredible history here. You know, the first mention of golf in the city of, well, little hamlet, I should say, of Carnoustie was a written piece back in 1561, all right? This golf course was built in 1842. If you love golf, you owe it to yourself one time in your life to make the trip and come over here to Scotland and really see what it's all about. It's just an incredible place. The excitement level here today has been, you know, through the roof. Tiger Woods at one point sharing the lead. Now we have the defending champion, Jordan Spieth. Yeah, he's leading. We had Justin Rose, who barely made the cut, needed a birdie on his last hole yesterday, rolls it in, and then shoots a 7-under par round today to somewhat get his nose. You know, he's at 4-under par. He's only 5 shots off the lead.
Right.
So, the excitement level couldn't be any higher.
It's absolutely fantastic. When Tiger hit on 18, the burn, the wall, God, was that a good bounce.
Well, he was very lucky there, and he seemed so relaxed. And, you know, the first 2 days, the only critical comments of Tiger was that he played, you know, maybe a little too conservative.
Mm.
Today, he opened it up a little bit. And what a nice surprise I had earlier in the week. Janice and I are working in the booth, and this gentleman comes and approaches the booth, and I'm looking at him. I said, man, I know this guy from somewhere, and I really couldn't put my finger on it. And then he extends his hand. He said, hi, Bob. You got to remember me. I said, well, I'm struggling a little. He said, well, I'm John Vanderfeld, and you interviewed me in 1999 when I had that tragic incident. And I said, John, thank you so much for coming by. Obviously, we put him on the air and reminisced about the triple bogey that he made on the last hole and then losing in that playoff to Paul Laurie and Justin Leonard. It was a great sight 2 days ago. We look down the 18th fairway, and who do we see? I see Paul Laurie doing Scottish radio and John Vanderfeld standing right alongside of him doing French TV, the two main characters from 1999.
I'll never forget 1999. I was shocked and amazed, and I was cheering for him, and I wanted him to be successful. And every time he did something that no one wanted him to do because it was just so radical, I said, yes, let's go for it. Yes, let's get this. That was amazing. And I see him, and he's so calm, and he really doesn't seem to have any regrets, does he?
No, he turned a negative into a positive, and he summed it up best by saying there are people in this world that have far greater problems than missing out on winning a claret jug. And I really admired him for that. It's been kind of an unusual week. Janice has really worked her magic. I turn around yesterday, and who's sitting in our booth here is none other than Tommy Fleetwood. Tommy Fleetwood gets up. Janice disappears. Next comes Zach Johnson. Hey, Bob, how you doing? Golly, Janice, slow down. You give me a heart attack here with all these people coming into our broadcast location. It's just a sheer delight. We're really burning on high octane. I got to be honest with you. We go from, you know, maybe 14, 15, 16 hours of constant broadcasting. And sometimes I say to Janice after I do a report, was that accurate? Was I talking about the Open Championship, or was I talking about the U.S. Open? I mean,
you know, I'm just honored that you take the time to be on my show. I really want to thank Bob Bubka, voice of golf on Talk Sport and host of the Grow Room Golf Show. And I can't wait to see you when we co-host my show together at, you're going to be on Maui, of course, right, for the Century Tournament of Champions.
There's two events I will never miss as long as I'm capable. One is the Open Championship, where I'm at now, and number two is what transpires on the island of Maui and the opportunity to come Saturday morning bright and early and sit alongside of you while you do your show. So those are my two highlights of the year. It really has been a lot of fun over here. You just can't describe it. I mean, you know, there's some things that are different. I had breakfast this morning in the wee hours of the morning, and the waiter said, "What would you like?" And I said, "Well, just some sunny side eggs and some bacon." He said, "Would that be two pieces of bacon or three?" I said, "Well, how much do you charge for the third one?" He said, "It's £2 if you want an extra piece of bacon." I said, "You know, I'm not that hungry. I think I'll go with two bacon this morning."
£2 for one more slice?
Oh, yeah, that's about $3.50.
My goodness.
Yeah, pigs are very precious over here in Scotland.
I can tell you that. Yes, something else I've learned. I never heard of sea lime grass.
Sea lime grass.
That's stuff.
And matter of fact, it causes quite an irritation. One of the team members of Open Golf Radio, which I've been participating in, it really is heard around the world. You want to see the emails that we get in. One minute we get an email from Singapore, and the next we get an email from California, and it's just incredible, the network that they put out. So make plans now. I think maybe next year, because it's going to return to Ireland for the first time in 66 years at Royal Port Rush. They're not even going to sell tickets at the gate next year. It's going to be a complete sellout. It's almost to that degree now. Let's see if we get Danielle Tucker to come to Ireland for the Open Championship. It's only fitting with what you've given to the game.
Oh, I'd love to. That would be right around my birthday, too. It would be just so perfect to be able to be with
you. What a way to turn 30.
Yeah.
Golly.
You're such a sneaky. Okay, can I ask you about this young whippersnapper, the fellow who won the amateur standing, the silver plate, the silver medal? He's the only amateur to make it. He's 19 years old, very, very young fellow. His name Sam Locke. He's from Scotland.
Yeah.
72, 73, 70. What a nice young man. Amazing.
No, exactly the type of guy that you would like to have on your show. He's a real gentleman. Obviously, being from Scotland, he truly appreciates the finer aspects of golf. And quite frankly, he said, "You know, I really want to play well tomorrow. However, I'm still going to get that silver plate when the day is over because he is the only amateur to make the cut. We got to give some kudos. How about Bernhard Langer?
Yes.
Shoots a 2-under par round today, 60 years old, simply incredible. Sandy Lyle, who was playing in his 43rd consecutive Open Championship, he has something very much in common now with Jack Nicklaus, and I can't wait to see Sandy to let him know, because Sandy Lyle yesterday on his last hole, and he has announced that he's not going to compete anymore in the Open Championship. On his last hole, he made birdie Jack Nicklaus at St. Andrews in 2005 when he was playing his last hole in Open competition. He made a birdie. So Sandy Lyle, Jack Nicklaus will be forever known as making birdies on the last time they ever play in an Open. That's pretty special stuff. And speaking of Jack Nicklaus, I looked up and I thought for a moment, wait a minute, what's going on here? There's Scott Tully, Jack Nicklaus's right-hand man. You never see Jack without Scott Tully. And then all of a sudden, so I walk over to him. I said, "Scott, where's Jack?" He said, "Well, Jack's in Africa." I said, "What are you doing here?" He said, "I'm on a cruise ship, and we docked not too far away, so I thought I'd pop into the golf tournament. I mean, you never know what's going to happen here.
That's amazing. I have one final question to ask you, because you always find the most interesting places to stay. Do you remember when you were in that converted container one year? Where are you staying? Tell us where we should stay, because where you are staying, we should stay.
Well, the place that I was referring to when it was a container was called the Snooze Box Hotel.
Yes.
And that was for a Ryder Cup, and that had tremendous advantage because while you were in your bed, you could brush your teeth and go to the bathroom. You didn't have to get out of your bed because that's how small it was. And
yes.
This week we're staying in the lovely Premier Inn that has these huge signs that say $49 a night, except this week it's £190 per night. So, but no air conditioning. You get instructions on how to open your window and turn the fan on. That's how the air works over here.
Bob Bupka, so good to have you on the show. Thank you for taking the time in your now almost 15-hour day. Bob Bupka, Talk Sport, Voice of Golf. Also, Open Golf Radio and host of the Grill Room Golf Radio Show. Okay, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me, Danielle. Always a pleasure.
Aloha. We're going to come back and go up into the sky, yes, with John Boedeker. He's the guy that is in the crane with the camera looking down with the bird's eye view right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the golf club.
After a year of searching, I found the perfect building for my new 30,000-foot showroom and office. I asked the architect what to do about the flooring. She just smiled and said, call Futurestone. They can turn a dirty, bumpy slab into a work of art. Super low maintenance, yet tough as nails. It's not paint. It's polished concrete as seen in Architectural Digest. Call Futurestone at 841-7433. It needs to be done right, on time, and on budget.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screen.
Your plumbing can't wait.
It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight.
Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii.
Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home. You need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing!
841-2837.
Your experts on call.
There's nothing like a good round of golf. Want to have more fun and play better? Golf is easier with coaching from PGA Master Teaching Professional Claude Rousseau. Claude will simplify your game. Scratch golfer or just beginner, two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year, Claude is at Maui School of Golf at the Kahili Course on Maui. You'll get great results and improve. Call Claude at 808-870-1422 or email him at claude@mauischoolofgolf.com. That's Claude Rousseau at 808-870-1422. Have more fun and stop buying lunches for your group.
It's the Golf Club. Visit our website at www.radiogolfclub.com. You can hear previous archived shows. Just hit the listen button and pick the show you want to hear. Email Danielle with your thoughts and requests. Contact us about advertising and check out our sponsor link. That's www.radiogolfclub.com. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
John Boedeker, crane operator, a crane camera operator. He's not one of the ones that you see there at Matson. He's one of the ones that we really don't get that many chances to see on television. It's a tall crane, and he sits up with his camera, and somehow he manages to follow the ball. John Boedeker, crane camera operator for NBC Golf Channel. A movie credit, too, The Squeeze. Remember that? Michael Noory was on the show. We had him. He's author, as well, of My Office Window. It's a golf photo book. Welcome into the clubhouse, John.
Aloha, Danielle. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's awesome that you're here, because I've often wanted to ask a cameraman, how in the world, how long did it take for you to be able to follow the golf ball with your camera?
You know, that is definitely the number one question that that most of us are asked on a, oh boy, more than daily basis. How do we follow the ball? And it's a number of things. Technology has advanced enormously over the years, which gives us some really great resolution in our viewfinders. But more than anything else, I like to say that following a golf ball is about 20% ability and 80% confidence. It really requires a lot of belief in what you're doing. And if you keep in mind, following a golf ball when you're doing the regular tour, these guys are so doggone good that when they hit the ball, most of the time it's going in exactly the same place.
That's
so
awesome.
It's a lot like playing a game. It's like a muscle memory. And once you get a feel for the flight of the ball and you get to know the players and how they hit the ball, there's a period of anticipation that you have to sort of kind of pan ahead or tilt ahead of the ball actually being struck, and then hope to God the ball's in the frame. And if it's not, then the old saying is, when in doubt, widen out and protect the hole for all in one.
When in doubt, widen out. I love it. Make that screen. Okay, so John Bodecker, radio back in the 70s in Santa Barbara, then to television at Mission Cable 2 on-air operations. I have to ask you, you went then to ESPN as a camera operator in 79 and ABC for 29 years, now with NBC Golf Channel. How did you go from the radio and the camera operations or on-air operations over at cable to camera operator?
Well, it was in Santa Barbara when I made the transition from radio, when I finally realized that I was not as good as some of you to be able to make it into the big time. I made the transition into TV, which was directly, well, it wasn't directly across the street. It was up the street at Cox Cable, and they had a local origination channel there. It was really run by one guy. And I went in and started helping him out on a volunteer basis, and that's how I got my foot in the door and ended up transferring from there down to Mission Cable, which is now known as San Diego Cox Cable in the San Diego area, to go to San Diego State. And as I was getting to the end of my time at San Diego State, that's when ESPN went on the air. And I actually worked. They went on the air September 29th. Of 1979, I actually did my first ESPN football game on September 30th. It was actually the next day, that Saturday. And I remember going on the air, and we were pulling off the snow-capped mountains, and the announcer says, we're going to be bringing you 24-hour-a-day sports here at ESPN. And I remember thinking to myself, this is the dumbest idea ever, 24-hours-a-day sports. And I thought, well, I'm going to just ride this stupid wave until they run out of money, and I'll jump on the next wave. And, well, some 30, whatever it is, years later, boy, did they prove me wrong.
And you've been in a crane camera situation as an operator ever since.
Actually, I'm sorry. No, the crane didn't really come into play in my career until 97. And it was a position that opened up at NBC. I had been doing a lot of handheld work. You've seen the handheld guys out at the tournaments with the camera on the shoulder.
Yeah.
I'd gotten to the point after the U.S. Open in, it was Pavens when Paven won. And
you got tired of carrying the darn thing?
I did. You know, three trips around, 18 holes walking with that thing, and I just decided there's got to be a better way to make a living. And I went to Tommy Roy, our producer at NBC at the time, and Bucky Guntz was our director back then, and I said, there's got to be something else to do. And they said, well, would you be interested in doing something up high? And I thought, I'm not real sure if I'm up for that. But there was a tournament coming up, the Arnold Palmer Invitational there at Bay Hill in 1997, and they've got a tower there. It's a 12-section tower right off the right side of the 18th fairway there. It's still there every year. And they asked me if I'd be interested in working that, and I thought, well, yeah, sure, I'll give it a shot. Climbed up to the top of that 12-section tower, and I remember getting up to the top, and there was no railings all the way around. But I had a harness, And I climbed up there, and I sort of got to the top step, and I looked over at this flat platform with the camera on the top of it, and I thought, boy, I don't know if I really feel comfortable over here. So I crawled over to the camera and kind of shimmied up the side of the tripod and got my harness on or latched in, and then I put my head in this two-dimensional black-and-white world, and I was able to work that for the day. And then at the end of the day, I pulled my head out and kind of crawled back over and climbed down, and I did that for 4 days. And at the end of the round on Sunday, I got down off that tower, and I literally kissed the ground and said, I'm never, ever doing that again. And 2 weeks later, I was back up on another one and another one. And over time, I sort of got over my fear of heights. So it's a comfortable world now.
You look so comfortable in your photo. The photo is the cover of a wonderful book. You've really got it. If you've got anyone who loves the game, the name of the book is My Office Window. It's a golf photo book. You get it? This is John Bodecker's office window. He's not enclosed. He's sitting up there, and he's got this huge smile on his face. It's like you are now so comfortable in that space. When did you bring the camera up to start taking these shots?
Well, I started taking the camera up in, it was probably around 2014 maybe. I started taking the camera up with me, and it was really just for just pictures that I would stick on Facebook or send to friends, just sort of sharing the world up there. And I had one of the buddies came up to me one time, and he says, you know, your pictures on Facebook are kind of all over the place, and I like to show people these cool pictures you're showing from up there. He says, can you put them all in one file? And I thought, yeah. And he goes, you know what, one step better, you ever thought about actually publishing a book with these pictures? And I kind of shrugged it off. And then as more I thought about it, I talked to my wife about it. She says, you know, it might be kind of a fun thing to do. Let's put a prototype together. So I put this prototype together. It was a real small version of it. And I took it to our producer at NBC, because most of the pictures were actually taken on the NBC shows I was doing. And Tommy Roy, our producer, was really enthusiastic about it. And he said, yeah, you know, let's go for it. And let us know how you're doing. Maybe he was a little surprised I actually even got it done. But after about a year, about 12 months of lots of copies and sending prototypes to the USGA and to the PGA Tour, I wasn't getting any callbacks to get this approved. And finally, Tommy walked up to me one day and he said, so how's the book going? And I said, well, I'm not getting anybody from the Tour or the USGA able to give me a callback, and get a little frustrated. And he says, well, hold on a second. And he immediately went right back into the trailer, came out about 10 minutes later with a card and said, call this guy, he's waiting to talk to you.
Wow.
And it was like the doors all opened up.
Wow.
And about 6 months later, we were going to print.
We are KPUA Hilo, KORLYNI, Honolulu, KONI, Lanai City, KTOH, Kalaheo. And I'm talking with John Bodecker, crane camera operator, NBC Golf Channel. His book is My Office Window. It's available at Amazon. It gets 5 stars from all the reviewers, including his wife. That is so cute.
Well, she has to be that way, doesn't she?
Yes, she does. This PGA Tour and USGA licensed coffee table book, it's a great gift, okay? It's just amazing. Now, if you have a golfer in your life, this is the book for him or her. What a special vantage point the author has at some of the premier golf events and courses. A unique coffee table book that will intrigue your golfer and non-golfer too. Highly recommended. That's just one of the reviews at Amazon. John, do you like wish you were at Carnoustie right now? Do you?
Well, not to be perfectly honest with you, I'm really enjoying being home. I travel so extensively and have over so many years. I am really reeling it back now. I consider myself, I'm now moving up the 18th fairway of my career.
Yes, I understand.
The settling down is really nice, and I'm enjoying it. And the book takes a lot of my time now, too, anyway. But, my hat's off to Bob, who you had on before, 15-hour days. Boy, that's a killer.
Yeah.
And I'm still working the Opens or the USGA stuff for Fox now, so I've added that. And we just finished those big shows. So I'm really just taking a little bit of time off to recharge after the demands of the new Fox schedule.
That was an intense open too at Shinnecock. But beautiful. You've got to tell us what are some of the. Can you say which some of the favorite photos are? Some of the favorite courses?
Oh, absolutely. Without a doubt, my favorite place to go every year is the Players Sawgrass, TPC Sawgrass. That place, you know, even this year, the feeling and the view and the atmosphere when Tiger came through, and unfortunately he wasn't. He didn't end up being where we wanted him or where we all wanted him to be on Sunday. But when he came through on Friday and Saturday, that whole area around 16 and 17 and 18T, it was packed. I don't think you get another person in there. And from my vision, my viewpoint above that, 120 feet above that, there is no place I'd rather be. It is absolutely spectacular up there, and you just feel the energy of that crowd. And I truly believe that when I walk away from golf, it will be on Sunday after the Players' Championship. When I come down from there, that's when I will walk away from golf.
Wow. Wow, that's really good. Goosebumps, chicken skin. We call it chicken skin in Hawaii.
You and me both.
Yeah, it's just beautiful. Now, I got a question. Any birds ever, you know, take offense to your presence?
No, they really don't. I haven't been asked that one before. I've had them come by. I've had them kind of fly by and look at me and kind of give me that, what are you doing here? But, they kind of just leave me alone up there. But then again, there's so much activity going on down underneath me as well. I think they're already sort of in the trees away from the craziness.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just thinking about, you know, golf courses. The wildlife on the course, we have mongoose in Hawaii, and they're ferrets, you know, and during the day they'll, you know, if you leave something in your golf cart, if you're not careful, it won't be there when you get back, like a sandwich, you know, musubi, something, it's gone. And everybody just kind of looks at you, just like you said, they just kind of look at you like, oh, you, and go about their business. That's one of the beauties of being on a golf course. Really enjoy it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You bet.
We're going to have to, you know, look and see where you are. John Bodecker is the crane camera operator for NBC Golf Channel. I'm going to have to scratch that and put USGA.
It'll be Fox. Fox Golf.
Fox.
Fox. That's obviously been it's a new addition to my golf schedule since they took over the USGA package.
Yeah.
Great organization to work with, and it's really fun to see the advancements and the changes they've made each year to take their product and bring it to a even higher level than they did the previous year. And they're just a great company to work for.
Excellent. And how about, you said that, was it a red light camera for The Squeeze, the movie with Michael Nouri?
That's exactly right. It's called the Red Camera. First time I ever ran that, they were, like a lot of the movies, they do a lot of computer-generated special effects. This particular producer wanted it to be as authentic as possible, and so they wanted to actually follow the ball through the air. And one of the differences between television camera work and movie industry work is there's really not a lot of zooming in movies. It's a lot of static lens. And so to follow a golf ball in TV, when the ball is about to be hit, we'll zoom out a little bit. And then once you have the ball in your frame, then you can zoom in and out of it and then obviously widen out before the ball hits the green. With this particular camera, they didn't really have a lot of zooming capabilities, so it was a little more critical to keep the ball in the frame or to find it in the beginning. And I had never operated one. They called me and asked me if I'd be willing to give it a try, and I figured, well, it's not like I'm going to lose a movie career because I didn't have one.
Right.
So my wife convinced me to go ahead. We shot it at the Wynn in Las Vegas, and we went over there, and I got behind this camera, and it was all configured different for me, and there's a lot of comfort factors that I normally will set up, and I normally focus the camera myself, but there was a crew there that did that for me as well. So there was a big learning curve for me to kind of get into that comfort zone.
Yeah.
But we were able to pull it off, and they were happy, and I was just proud to be a part of something that I always wanted to do anyway, and that was do a major motion picture.
Yeah.
That was really fun.
Movie shoot. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
It's a good little movie, too. I really enjoyed it. John Bodecker is crane camera operator, Fox, NBC Golf Channel. He's worked for ESPN, ABC, and he has this wonderful book. It's called My Office Window. It's available at Amazon. It gets 5 stars from all reviewers. My Office Window is about 13 by 11. I shouldn't say about. It is 13 by 11. Coffee table book, 40 pages. Landscape, full color, one-of-a-kind photographs from high above some of the greatest golf venues on tour. It's PGA Tour and licensed by USGA. So it's a great gift for your hard-to-buy golf enthusiast. And such a beautiful book. Excited to give them as Christmas presents to the avid golfers on my list. Ordering one for me, too, is one of the reviewers at Amazon. Awesome. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Danielle. It was an absolute pleasure.
Great. John Bodecker, aloha.
Aloha.
We're going to come back, and we're going to wrap up our show today back at the 147th Open. John Hopkins, Global Golf Post, will be with us right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
After a year of searching, I found the perfect building for my new 30,000-foot showroom and office. I asked the architect what to do about the flooring. She just smiled and said, call Futurestone. They can turn a dirty, bumpy slab into a work of art. Super low maintenance, yet tough as nails. It's not paint. It's polished concrete, as seen in Architectural Digest. Call Futurestone at 841-7433. It needs to be done right, on time, and on budget.
A question. What is 6 times larger than your front door? What can open and close with the touch of a button or the click of your smartphone? What do your neighbors notice every time they pass your home? And what is the one home improvement that offers the largest return on investment? What gives you thousands of choices yet can be installed in a single day? You're right. It's your new Rainer garage door. Beautify your home with Rainer at 676-3667. That's 676-3667.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens.
Your plumbing can't wait.
It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight.
Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii.
Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home. You need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing!
841-2837.
Your experts on call.
You scope out the sand traps. You size up the green. You're eyeing the flag. Now, it's time to choose a club, but you don't know which one to choose?
That's when you turn to Danielle Tucker. Now, back to The Golf Club.
I was watching Peter Alice. In case you're thinking about jetting over and playing Carnoustie, he said it's like climbing Mount Everest. The equivalent of mountain climbing, playing Carnoustie in golf is playing Carnoustie. Carnoustie, Mount Everest. So if you're going to go play, you need to kind of like take your scorecard and throw it away, unless you're very good. And in that case, you're going to have a really good time, particularly with the weather being the way it's been in Scotland. Just so unusually hot and so amazingly wonderful. The grass isn't growing. It's hardly raining at all, although it did soften things up when it rained on Friday. Got a little windy, and we're hearing that there may be some more wind coming in Scotland. We're just going to check the leaderboard. We're waiting for John Hopkins to call in from the 147th Open. Jordan Spieth and Kevin Kisner. Jordan is in with a 65 today after a 67-72, so he's 9 under. Kevin Kisner, he still has 3 holes to play. He's also at 9 under. And Xander Schauffele, 8 under. Kevin Chappell, 7 under. Francesco Molinari is 6 under. Rory McIlroy, he's still on the course, 6 under. He's on 17 right now still. Zach Johnson, one of the co-leaders starting off, you know, he's doing okay. He's even, so he's losing ground. He's got 3 more holes to play. Tiger Woods finished with a 66. He's 5 under, as is Webb Simpson, and doing a really great job. Let me see if I can scroll down this leaderboard just a little bit. I also wanted to do a big shout-out this morning to a young lady who is at the Barbasol Championship. And I was thinking, you know, if Brittany Lincecome doesn't do really great, how is that going to make her feel? Well, it's going to make her feel really good, because when she goes back and plays on the LPGA, it's going to feel easy. She's playing the setup. The men are playing at Barbasol. She shot a 78 the first day, probably nervous. A 71, didn't make the cut, but just what an experience for her to do that. All right, now, Global Golf Post, John Hopkins, author, his most recent work is 4, The Best of John Hopkins on Golf, more than 35 years of golf writing from all around the world compiled. He's a 2013 PGA Lifetime Achievement Award in Journalism recipient, only the second non-American to receive the award. And we're really happy to have him in the clubhouse. Hi, John.
How are you, Danielle? I can hear you loud and clear.
Oh, that's excellent. And I hear you very well, too. You're coming in clear. I just went to the leaderboard. This is shaping up to be a very, very exciting Open. It always is. But how are you feeling about what's happening at Carnoustie?
Well, the temperature, so to speak, has risen every day. I don't mean that literally in terms of the weather, but I think it was a relatively quiet first day, and not bad second day, but it's really stepped up today. And we now have something like 6 major champions in the top 12. The names that Tiger has played beautifully today, missed maybe 2 shots. Jordan Spieth is right back there and in with a chance of becoming one of a very small band of players to successfully defend an Open Championship. There are other major champions all around the place. Rory is just playing the last. So I think tomorrow promises, to use the temperature analogy or to continue that, to be a really red-hot day.
Yeah, I was looking at Zach Johnson, too. If he could pull it together, and he'd be another person, but not back-to-back, but have, I think he won in 2014 and then coming back in 18 to win. That would be spectacular in and of itself. He's even on the day. Did you notice what kind of a day he was having?
Well, he was going on quite nicely until he had an interruption in his scoring on the back nine. He slipped from 8 under to, at his worst, 5 under, but he's now got it back to 6 under. No longer is this course quite as much up its street as it was on the first day. The first few days when it was so hard and so hot and so calm, it was a course where length in itself didn't really matter. I mean, why else would Bernard Langer, for example, at the age of 60, be well under par after 3 rounds? In other words, it's more by skill than sheer power that Zach Johnson gets his ball around the golf course. And on those days, the first 2 days, it was right up his street. It has slowed down a little bit. We've had some rain, and the wind has got up. Those are 2 things that now bring in the more stronger hitters and perhaps the more all-round golfers, never mind the ones who are younger. And Zach, I fear that Zach's chances are beginning to fade away. When he won at St Andrews in 2015, the reason he won there was that he simply is a magnificent controller of his golf ball. And the fact that he couldn't hit the ball as far as, for example, Dustin Johnson, who could have driven something like 9 of the holes at St Andrews, it didn't really matter. And the same applied here on Thursday and Friday. Jack was up there because it didn't matter that, you know, he was well behind Dustin because he was able to keep his ball on the fairway when others were hitting into the rough. He managed to make sure that he didn't get into too many bunkers and he putted well. But now the game, as I say, is becoming a little bit more of a typical British Open weather, slightly overcast, and the wind is expected to get up tomorrow. With the best one in the world, I don't see Zach lasting through to win tomorrow.
Interesting. Very nice insight. Now, I'm one of those people. I love Tiger. If Tiger Woods were to win, that'd be fantastic. But Tommy Fleetwood is another person that's kind of near and dear to, I'd like him to win a major, especially going into Ryder Cup. He's kind of having a hard time today. That gives me pause.
He's quitted it. He was going along all right. 6 under, started at 5 under, got to 6 under, fell back to 5, got back to 6, and then lost a few, and is now fighting for all he's worth. Every stroke now is important. He does not want to fall more than 5 strokes behind Jordan, who's in at 9 under. The thing about Tommy looks like Jesus Christ. Let's not mess around here. He's got this long hair. He's got these striking blue eyes. He has a central parting. There's a famous play in Germany called The Passion Play at Oberammergau, and it's put on every 10 years by the citizens of this little village called Oberammergau, and they work very hard to find a local person to play the lead. Well, I think Tommy could probably play the lead any time he likes. And he just is a very, very engaging character. He talks about spending a lot of time in his kitchen, though he does nothing in it. i.e., he doesn't cook, but he loves being in his kitchen. And he's got 2 dogs, which are called Cookie and Benji, and he loves them. A very engaging character, very down to earth, and I'm not at all surprised to hear that you like him. And a lot of people would be very pleased if he were to do well tomorrow.
Yes. Well, no, you've just given us such a great insight into Tommy Fleetwood. Something I had no idea, that he'd like to stay in his kitchen and didn't really cook, and has 2 dogs. That, you know, now he's just, you've just captured another audience. All of the dog lovers in Hawaii are going to want Tommy Fleetwood to win. He has these 2 adorables. You must have, you know, your eye is so keen. What are you watching? What are you looking at? What is your interest? What piques you right now?
Well, I think what's interesting now is we're seeing the way this game has been played this week changing. As I say, on Thursday and Friday, it was a matter of often being cautious off the tee, taking an iron. The most important thing then was to make sure that you kept your ball in play. Rory was exceptional, one of the few golfers who said, I'm going to use the driver. I'm not going to genuflect to this golf course. I respect it hugely, but I will not bend my knee. Whereas Tiger Woods, for example, went the cautious approach, and Jordan Spieth did very early on. Now, as I say, now that the course has been slowed down a little bit, the wind has got up, and it's more like a typical open course. It's a matter of strength and skill and mental willpower. And that's why I think we're seeing these names. And that's what's interesting me at the moment, the way that the way you play the course has changed. It even just changed today. I mean, 2 o'clock. Now, what often happens at seaside courses is that when the tide changes, the weather changes. Don't ask me to explain why that is the case, but it often does. And at 2 o'clock here, it was still quite sunny and calm, and then slowly the conditions have got more difficult. And here we are now, well past 7 o'clock in the evening. This is I can see seagulls circling Kevin Kisner as he putts towards the end of his round. It is now a very typical stern British Open test.
Excellent.
Whereas on Thursday, as I say, it was slightly freaky.
It was slightly freaky, kind of like the weather's been, slightly freaky for the last month or so, or maybe 2 months. Ireland baking out and Scotland as well. Another young man who's going to have his silver plate, Sam Locke, from Scotland, doing very well. What can you tell us about Sam?
Well, I can't tell you a great deal about Sam. I mean, what I can tell you about is he's one of these. It's one of these paradoxical situations that Scotland is supposedly the home of golf. It has a reasonable amount of money available for golf from the authorities because it's an important game. It's very important to the citizens of that country. Yet the state of Scottish golf is really parlous. If you take away people like Russell Knox, who's lived in America for quite a long time, there are very few Scots in the top 100. I mean, it reminds me of how tennis players were regarded in England every year until Andy Murray came along. Wimbledon would provide these huge sums of money to the tennis authorities in Great Britain, and supposedly great training schemes were in place and tennis centres were being built, but we didn't actually produce a champion of any sort, really, until Andy Murray came along. It's bizarre the way that the Scots can't produce more good golfers, and I don't really know what the answer is. I mean, Wales, for example, the country in which I live and I'm proud to call myself as a Welshman, has far, far less money, but our results would proportionately, or the Welsh results would proportionately probably be better than the Scots.
Mm-hmm.
So I shouldn't really be saying this in public, but I don't know the answer, but I don't.
But you know what? I love the fact that you say, I shouldn't be saying this in public, John Hopkins, Global Golf Post. I love the fact that you're so open, and the whole thing about Shinnecock, and what you said right on television for everybody here about the situation there was perfection. And I was thinking to myself, you know, this is interesting. I don't have a controversy to talk about with John Hopkins. This is a beautiful golf tournament. It is the Open. We're playing golf, and that's what we're going to be talking about, not something that happened because of the way the setup was or some rule infraction. It's all about the golf, and it's spectacular.
I think that there is a reason for that, and that is that the RNA do not bind themselves quite so sternly to par and to making this the supreme test of golf as the USGA seem to. I mean, if a golfer gets to 20 under par, as Henrik Stenson did in the Open 2 years ago, well, they say, gosh, what a fantastic achievement. We take our hats off to you. We shut the course up. We felt quite severely, and yet you've got to 20 under par. Well done. Now, the USGA, I think, would probably agree that they just simply don't want anybody to reduce one of their courses to 20 under par. And so they seem to be more adamant that the course should be, or parts of the course, or pin positions, should be tougher and more difficult for the players than the RNA do in setting up the Open. And sometimes it comes back to bite them, as perhaps it did at Shinnecock with the 13th and the 15th placements on the Saturday afternoon.
Yes.
And they shouldn't. I don't think they should have to say, Mike Davis and John Bodenham are the two key figures, they shouldn't have to appear in front of the public and say, well, I'm sorry, we got it wrong. You don't hear the RNA saying that very often. And I don't want to sound xenophobic here, but it does seem to me that the way the RNA conduct the Open, and in particular the way they set up their golf courses, is marginally better and marginally more satisfactory for the players than the way the USGA set up their Open for their players.
John Hopkins, I thank you so much for spending time with us. I loved your reflections on Peter Thompson, what you wrote for Global Golf Post. Thank you for being on the show. Aloha.
It's a pleasure. Thank you very much for asking me.
We're going to thank the people who make this show possible. And first off, of course, we're going to go to Rainer Doors. Rainer Doors, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom, provide lasting security and safety for your business, your home. That is Rainer Doors. Call them. Claude Brousseau, Master PGA Professional, two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year. You should get a lesson with Claude. Futuristone, Futuristone's Master Craftsman, turning your building, your warehouse, your showroom, or your home project into artwork. And Creative Plumbing, whether a building, a shopping center, a store, a custom home, or a townhouse, you need to call Creative Plumbing. Thank you for your mama. May you hit the sweet spot every time. I'm Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2018.